thank you guys for allowing me to meet with you via Google Meet individually and connecting with the group, Brother Cosgrove, Brother Wade, Brother, Sister, Sims, and others. Thank you so much that we are able to connect this way. But I have been a little under the weather, and I am dealing with some things here. So in the midst of that, I wanted to teach in this way and through the medium this way to help to catalog first the lesson. This, we've been cataloging and recording each lesson here in the Book of John because I want to have it as a legacy archive in our archive on our website. And then second of all, to deal more precisely chapter by chapter rather than just go by the book's outline, which kind of skips a couple chapters. So I have a dual purpose in what I'm trying to do. Turn with me to the Book of John, chapter 13, and let's read from verse 1 if you don't mind. I'm going to read from the NIV version of the Bible. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So here they were. They had had their meal and it was progressing, etc. And here, afterwards, he goes away from the table and he begins to prepare to wash the feet of the brethren. Verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Peter was pretty instantaneous and stubborn, and we see it in these passages of Scripture. Verse 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Peter, unless you're going to be a part of this, you have no part of me. You've got to first learn to be a servant before you can do anything else for the kingdom of God. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. He wanted them to really understand the lesson he was portraying. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you," verse 16 is very important to understand here. "Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than one who sent him." He's not greater than one who sent him. "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It is so important to understand humility and its importance in the kingdom of God. We are servants unto God, and we are to adhere to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been bought with a price, and he gave himself up for us that we might become a part of his kingdom, brought in through his shed blood, and become partakers of a new and everlasting covenant. This covenant came with sacrifice. and that sacrifice was that of a servant. As Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down and dwelt in human flesh, gave himself over, and was later crucified, and would become our redemption. He made himself a little lower than the angels just in order to go through the plan of God and the Father's will and to be crucified on the cross and to die and raise again to show forth the glory of God and to bear witness of his true word and to restore the rights of covenant and to reestablish the Lord's desire for his word and how the covenant operates. It is called a new and everlasting covenant, but it basically is an understanding of encapsulation of that which has already been revealed, but now has been brought into a new dimension through the power and the work of our Lord and the victory and the anointing and Spirit of God that has come amongst us after the outpouring of the Pentecostal experience during that festival. We are people that have been redeemed and we've been resurrected unto newness of life. And as those people, we must go forth understanding, as he did, that he was a servant and we are no less. And our hearts have got to be those that are always humble and understanding that it is a privilege of which we stand in being servants of the Master and being able to embellish and teach and minister his gospel, making disciples and seeing people baptized and coming unto the Lord and seeing the grace of God visit them and them becoming those children of God filled with the joy of the Spirit and knowing the life of Jesus Christ. The privilege we've received has been because of sacrifice. And sacrifice never changes. We are a living sacrifice, as Scripture says. And as living sacrifices, we're always making ourselves available and sacrificing ourselves so that someone else can benefit. Someone who sacrifices is doing so for the purpose of someone else benefiting. I save money towards college for my children for a reason, so that they might go to college and have maybe, quote, a better life, or at least have something that is good for them that will help them in attaining what they need to in their everyday living. We sacrifice in certain dimensions as husbands, as fathers, as pastors, as teachers, as workers, in whatever capacity might be, that there might be something else that would be provided or to make it easier for someone else down the pike. Okay? Nothing has ever been accomplished in life without sacrifice. If something is gathered and a part of your life that you have not paid a price for many times or have not recognized the price paid for you, there becomes a disconnect. Sometimes children who just inherit a whole bunch of things and live off mom and dad's blessings and never really sacrifice work or anything else, they are at a disadvantage when it comes to understanding these principles that Jesus gave us and gave the example thereof. It doesn't follow suit with how their lives have been and how everything's been handed to them. Now, I'm thankful that I can hand things to my children and do some different things. But along the way, they're being educated for a purpose and or the ability to grow and attain to something. Learn what you can. Get experience. Take advantage of the tools around about you. And grow in the grace and the knowledge of God every day. And in the purposes of God, and as you stretch forth in the kingdom of God, and you work with your brothers and sisters in the body, learn what you can and grow in the power of God's grace that you might be able to gain little nuggets along the way that will help you when you need that nugget or wise teaching lesson that you received. Okay? You might not today understand all that we're doing at Covenant Grace, in your Bible study groups, the things we're teaching, etc., the things you're experiencing. But somewhere down the pike, that knowledge or information will take upon wisdom and application. Did you get me? Okay. Will lead to application. But because you received and it is germinated and it becomes a part. And then, oh, now I see how I can apply it. Okay. Hallelujah. Many of you are those who are like myself. I'm better learning from visualization than you just giving me a textbook. Now, I sometimes can learn some things through a textbook only, okay, and take as much knowledge as I can and then use that raw knowledge as fluidly as possible. However, it is much easier, and I think this is true for most of us, when we visually attain things, to be able to go and do something, or at least have done it a couple times, what we are being carried out or asked to carry out as a task. You know what I mean? All right? Experience is a great teacher. Having it visually sometimes helps me a lot, etc. I want to guide you as Christ has led me. And as examples have been given to me through the years, I try to share those the best I can for you to help you in the ministry and the purposes of God and to escape some of the things that I had to go through. Amen. I don't want you to go through the hurts I went through. Some things I tried to teach you helped you to, I hope, not experience those same heartaches, okay? All right. So we want to grow in the things of God. And humility is something we have to understand and embrace. Because those who humble themselves in the eyes of the Lord will be exalted in due season. People who walk in humility will be exalted in due season. A lot of people that have never understood, or have truly walked in a life that has been humble and subservient to Christ do not go through the things of God in a way and pattern that has embraced humility, and it's been many times bent upon arrogance, self-reliance, and other mechanisms whereby the fruit they are bringing unto the kingdom of God is not of true righteousness. Hallelujah. And it's been birthed from a spirit and has been planted in ground that's not been prepared by humility and grace, but instead self-reliance and self-worth or self-exaltation. And that will not lead to eternal consequence of grace and mercy and revival, but instead pain, suffering, and somewhere down the pike, see the residue of that hypocrisy. Amen. Beware of that leaven in your life. Beware of that leaven that corrupts. It allows your selfish pride and arrogance to take root. And when you get to the place when you think of yourself so much or your abilities as so great, or that you are in the back of your mind always, oh, well, Brother Boston, I really don't think you should be listening or even wasting your time with that guy. You need to get to a place of prayer. You need a Holy Ghost rendezvous where God can minister to you and you can allow His Holy Spirit to enlighten you to where you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus wanted His disciples to understand the spirit of humility and being a servant unto God and doing so just like He did. He could have came as a king. He could have taken a position as the King of Israel. He had that stock, that heritage. But He came down, became a little lower than the angels, became a servant that He might become the exalted one at the right hand of God through the mercy and grace of God, by sacrificing Himself for the cause, so to speak. He understood the purpose. And sacrifice always has a purpose in mind. And in the midst of the sacrifice, you will have great gain. And there will also be a great appreciation for what you've attained through the sacrifice and what you did. I had to work myself through college. I had to pay my own way. My dad, unfortunately, before I went to college, had to take out the money I put in savings for my college. I'd saved up enough money for maybe at least 2 years worth of my college education we paid for just out of my part-time job working in Great Bend, Kansas. But my mom died that summer, and my dad didn't have a life insurance policy on her. And their expenses and things he didn't have totally at his disposal to take care of things with a fluid financial situation. So without telling me, he pulled out all my money and he used it for my mother's funeral. Okay? Now, I was shocked by it, but I wasn't bitter about it. I just found out about it, didn't know until like 2 weeks before I was going to college. So I had to kind of figure out where I'm going to come up with the money. Well, Dad at least gave me $500. So that was enough money to get me started, but I needed more. And so as soon as whatever I could come up with working before I left town, and then when I finally got to Houston, getting a job as quickly as I can, I paid my way. And I've paid my way through all my college experience, even now as I have a PhD, but yet I paid for it along the way, you know, however I could and had to work through it. It took time and it took sacrifice. It wasn't the plan I had in mind, but it was God's plan and it had a purpose and it taught me a resiliency and appreciation for things I might not have ever appreciated. Okay? Amen. And so I truly am thankful for that, receiving my initial degree and bachelor's and then later, you know, the whole bit. I tend to appreciate it more than you could ever imagine. And now as the president of Focus Bible College, I really appreciate what I see students with the sacrifice and the dogged attitude they do when they're studying to show themselves approval, workmen not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It just blesses me. And I love reading the papers of so many of the students. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the scripture says. But without sacrifice, there's so many things that would be lost in our service in God's kingdom. But it first starts with obedience no matter what we do. Okay? You are not going to be able to even have sacrifice in the kingdom of God unless you are obedient at first to his word and become the servant God wants you to be. Hallelujah. So we have to have it in the right step-by-step process, and obedience is better than godliness. Okay? Be obedient to God's word. Let God's word minister you, and then see the sacrifice come along. Let God do just a wonderful work. Obedience to his word. Obedience to the things of God's kingdom. Obedience to going to the house of God. That faithfulness accomplishes a lot. Amen. And it's, quote, better than sacrifice. But sacrifice has a definite purpose under the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But Jesus would have never sacrificed until he first became obedient to the Father's will. Amen. You know, it was always a good thing when I listened to mom and dad. How about you? It was always a good thing when I listened to my mom and dad. And it kept me from getting spankings and everything else, right? And for you, no doubt, you're listening to your parents in most cases was beneficial. And in our hearts and lives, when we listen to the Lord and his word, we benefit from it. Okay. And we learn, and we sometimes don't understand a thing about what's going on when we're being obedient to this thing he asks us to do. But the more so we live it out, we begin to treasure that which God has invested in us. And you'll see that as your life grows in him, okay? Humility, so important. And I can't emphasize it enough. I sometimes, when I'm talking about humility, like to talk about different stories of preachers and folks I met in the past and the experiences that could help you to understand things. But I don't want to spend and belabor a long time because there are many stories and there's many things I can relate in that historical tribute. But there was one individual that I knew that really, really had been blessed by having a lot of things handed to him as a missionary son, et cetera, and that, you know, every single opportunity, everything kind of, it was just paid for him in gold that he would go forth in ministry and really get any kind of thing he wanted out of the ministry. He had the name recognition. He had a good way about him. He was a handsome lad, you know, et cetera. But this individual had a weakness. This individual had something that Satan knew about and could exploit. He was a great, I would have to say, con man in many ways. He definitely was a persuasive individual. And he could lead people to God, no doubt about it. But he was very carnal. And, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but he had a problem with almost wanting to have a girlfriend in every church that he evangelized or went to. And he wanted to just always, he was always a popular, handsome kid. But instead of taking what was handed him and the blessings of his life, there are things that got inside of him or were part of him he never took care of and humbled himself before the things of God and allowed the Lord to wash his feet and to be able to see the Lord minister his life in such a way where he got rid of the old man and put on Jesus Christ. As I've taught you so many times, you need to be a Colossians chapter 3 Christian. You need to be a Colossians chapter 3 Christian. And that's a Christian that puts on the new nature of Jesus Christ. Before you can even consider the armor of God, which is wonderful and blessed, you've got to first be a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. And that doesn't take place unless you truly understand what it means to be a believer in Christ Jesus and allow Christ to change you from the inside out. And that takes being willing to be a servant, allowing him to take control of every aspect of your soul, every aspect of your life, every hidden part of your heart. Amen? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, if you don't mind. We'll pause a moment here as you get that. Because I know that's not in your notes to grab. But are you with me now? Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. And that is the key towards you being a truly successful Christian. To know Him and the power of the resurrection. To know Him and to keep your eyes looking on to Jesus, the author in the finisher of your faith. Send your heart up to Him where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. The right hand signifies power. You can't receive power and grace for everyday living without knowing the Lord. And having done so, set your mind on the things above. So get your eyes on the Lord and set your things on the things above. Hallelujah. Not on earthly things, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory, putting to death, and here we go, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these. Did you hear what the scripture says? You used to walk in these things, these ways, like you once had. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since ye have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. I've got to put on Christ. I've got to keep my eyes on him. The mind of Christ has got to be the mind I have. And Christ said to humble himself for the Lord. And he humbled himself. And he washed the feet of the disciples and was a servant to all, even as I must be a servant in this generation. Amen? No matter what you do in life, no matter what you attain to, I would have to say that that spirit of grace and humility that you possess will be one of the greatest factors in your success in the kingdom of God. Not being self-absorbed, not being self-aggrandizing, not being self-centered, but being Christ-centered and having your eyes on him. Putting aside the old nature and the carnality that would like to possess you. Now yourself to be Christ's possession. Amen? Amen. Let's close here in a moment, going back to John chapter 13. I hope that this lesson has touched you in some way, shape, and form. John chapter 13. Verse 18. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I've chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Jesus had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Here we know of the story being rendered to us considering the betrayal and Jesus' prophetical word considering it. What a hard thing for Jesus to reveal and also bring about, and how even at the very moment it was transpiring and he gave the definition in terms, people still didn't understand it or whatnot and were misconstrued in their thought processes. But to think that within his group of disciples who were servants of God, people who had followed after him and saw all he had done, could consider that there would be somebody who could consider themselves to be one who could be having such a heart to be given over to betrayal of the Lord and Savior is almost shocking. But Jesus knew the heart. Jesus had the money and had been ripping off the church, so to speak, for years. He had been just going through the motions, doing different things, whatever. In there within the camp. And Jesus allowed it. There are some of you preachers and pastors and teachers that have had Judases in your midst. And it's hard to deal with that legacy in your life or that experience. But hey, if Jesus, being God, could allow for that to be and let that person be in his inner counsel, despite it all, God has a purpose in it. A lesson to learn. Something to see. Despite the pain it might have caused. In my life, I have a very, very close friend of mine who I trusted my entire life growing up. Was my best friend. But the Judas was in the midst. It happens. And when it does and when it, you know, transpires, you know, now Jesus understood and he knew the end before the beginning. He knew exactly what was going on. I didn't. You don't many times. Okay? And you deal with it the best you can. But the important thing is to continue on. He told him to just go and do what you've got to do. And despite him giving up Jesus, so to speak, God had a divine purpose in mind. Even in the heartaches and the hurts that I've gone through in my life because of certain people, it does not matter. Because the Lord had an alternative plan along the way, and there are people I need to meet, people I have come to know that I never would have known unless, and I learned a lesson that has helped me in ministry, and has helped me with my friends and neighbors, and has helped me in the kingdom of God. So to each and every one of us, listen to the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. Keep your eyes upon Him. Be a Colossians chapter 3 Christian. And honor the Lord, putting on Christ, and bearing witness of His love to this generation. That love will make all the difference in the world. And if you don't catch anything else about the life of Christ, then the agape, sacrificial, God-giving love of God that was so generous from the very beginning of Jesus coming down to earth and emptying himself for us. If that's all you get out of it all, that's probably going to be enough in many ways. Because love covers a multitude of sin. And love, true love, just does amazing things. Hallelujah. Let God's love minister through you. God bless you. I hope that He has ministered and blessed you during our time here in the Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your grace at the cross. Thank you for what you've done for each and every one of us in helping us to become members of your kingdom. Thank you for one day looking towards me and saying, follow me. And that, God, by some work and miracle, I responded to that call. I am a part of your sheepfold, and I'm thankful for your love. God, help each and every one of us as we enter in and out and serve you, Lord, in the sheepfold, glorify our Father in heaven. And we pray, O God, that we would be humble servants of your love and bear witness of your love to this generation and be God givers, so to speak, as we go forth each and every day, sharing a bit of you with everyone we come in contact with. O Lord, be our portion today. Be our song. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word. Let it be strength to us. And let us learn and grow from that which we received in this scripture being broken up to us, opened to our hearts, and given as life, as manna from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.